Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
2 weeks to go until Election Day here in Montana, and we've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, in studio with us. Plus, Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal is in Billings, Montana right now as we speak. She speaks at a dinner tonight. She may be dropping into our studios here within the next hour, so that'll be a fun surprise addition as well. John, great to see you. Thanks so much for sticking around with us here this morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, Aaron.
I want to unfake the news. We're going to un-F the news here on this Unwoke Tuesday show. We're going to un-F the news. We're going to unfake the news. So there is a liberal Montana Free Press article here. Montana's energy economy pits traditional industry against renewable opportunities with billions of tax dollars at stake. It's like, no, we can support coal and we can support natural gas, and still the others can do fine as well. So there, but basically the whole article is by Robert Cheney, a environmental activist reporter who recently got let go from the Missoulian in Missoula. He writes this whole article basically trying to trash the Montana coal business and the Montana coal industry. But then, John, you look at the end of the article. This three-month investigation was supported by a Kozik Environmental Justice reporting grant by the National Press Foundation. So basically, they got paid to do environmental justice reporting. That's not journalism. That's advocacy. And it's activism, but yet, how many newspapers in Montana are going to publish this as if it's news, as if it's journalism?
Oh, it's cut and paste. They will absolutely cut and paste it. And what I asked you, I think, on that same article on Twitter is, who gave that money to the National Press Organization? Where did they get that funding from? Bet you anything, it's our tax money. Bet you.
Well, that or just the big liberals in the big liberal media, you know, that was because they're pushing not only this environmental justice reporting, they're pushing other, you know, equity based journalistic coverage. And we know what equity is all a code word for. Yeah, it's just crazy. But, you know, speaking of unfaking the news here for our listeners, that's what the F stands for. It stands for fake. Unfake the news. So the Lee newspapers, Billings Gazette, the Missoulian, the Helena IR, they did this big story talking about a group called Western Native Voice. But not once do they mention who funds Western Native Voice. It's a far-left white guy named George Soros. But they conveniently leave that out of the entire story.
George Soros, I've heard that name somewhere before. Isn't he the Bond villain communist that supports every communist agenda piece across the country? I think so.
That sounds like the guy, yeah. Not George Costanza, different George. Yeah. Hey, we got a lot to talk about here on this Tuesday. Plus, we got the phone lines open for you. 294-0970.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, just hold your horses. I know we got a lot to talk about, but somebody much more important than you just walked into the studios. So are you okay taking a back seat for just a moment here, John?
I have been watching Mr. Russell on Fox News for 20 years. I'm a total fanboy, so yeah. Take it away.
Kimberly Strassel at the Wall Street Journal, just one of the best in the business. So cool to have you in Montana.
It is so great to be here and such a privilege to be on your show, Aaron.
What are you going to be talking about tonight? You're headlining the Mountain States Policy Center dinner. And by the way, special for our Montana Talks listeners, if you use free markets as the during checkout as the promo code, you'll get a free ticket to the dinner. If they still have tickets left, of course.
But, no, they want me. We're going to obviously be talking about the election a little bit, where things look, where things are headed. I think also talk a little bit about, they want me to talk a bit about the media coverage of these candidates, which I have to tell you, Aaron, in all of my years, I used to, like most conservatives, complain about liberal bias in the press. This is something of a different order these days, starting with when Trump got into politics. I think you can just argue that a great deal of the media became an arm of one party. And it's very disturbing to watch. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. And I think we're going to talk about a book I published last year, which was making the comparison between Joe Biden's presidency and Jimmy Carter's, although I make the case that that is unfair to Jimmy Carter.
And you've also talked about the attacks on free speech right now that ties into all of this.
Oh, there is so much of that that goes in. And I think there are iterations of this as well, too. What used to be, I think, that the progressive playbook, just attacking people's free speech rights. And that ranges in many different levels, whether it was trying to cancel people who said things that they didn't like, whether it was Lois Lerner and the IRS targeting scandal that was attempting to close down conservative organizations, free market organizations. I think that's evolved into some of the lawfare you now see today. And I think it's evolved even more so into something you see. It's a big story here in Montana right now, which are the attacks on Tim Sheehy's company from John Tester and Democrats, an attempt to tear down a Montana business in order to claim that your opponent's a failed businessman.
We were just talking, John Jackson and I were just talking about the Montana Free Press, which is, you know, funded by these Democrat liberal mega donors. They provide their news to newspapers, and then they get copy and pasted into these news stories. They were one of the first to run with this phony BS attack against Bridger Aerospace and Tim Sheehy's company. It's outrageous what they did. And the media has just shown, I mean, they used some liberal business professor at the University of Montana to do this attack. You just wrote a big column, actually, for the Wall Street Journal about how John Tester and the Democrats have been bashing this Montana company, deliberately trying to tear down a Montana company just to try to help themselves politically.
Well, your sign in all of this, in my mind, is you go back to this summer and, you know, Bridger Aerospace, something Montana should be very proud of as a company, one of Montana's few listed companies, but it's also not an enormous entity. We're not talking about Boeing here or, you know, Starbucks. It's a small growing company here in the state. And when you suddenly have the Washington Post and the national NBC reporter doing these long dig-in stories about supposedly its terrible finances, and they say the same things and make the same accusations, and they run a day apart from each other, you should know what's going on, obviously. And it did start here locally, probably because those who were trying to make the argument could get a little bit more traction before they could get someone to bite. But it's a great example of the press piling on.
Yeah, and we could see it because I've known about Bridger Aerospace for about, you know, 10 years because as a veteran, you know, I served in Iraq and Afghanistan. John here was with a federal law enforcement agency in Afghanistan, but I knew the veterans that worked for Tim Sheehy. Incredible business, aerial firefighting business. And these young men and women were coming home from overseas and they had economic opportunity because of this business. The business was getting accolades left and right. But then all of a sudden, Tim Sheehy is is being named as a candidate for the United States Senate, and then deliberate attacks against that company start happening.
Yeah, and think about that, because I was most shocked when I saw an ad from John Tester actually joining in on this and bashing on the company and suggesting it was failing. What senator does that? All right. I mean, we have partisan politics, but you should want local businesses to be thriving and doing well. And if you actually did think that there was a concern, you should be asking, what can I do to help? Not piling on. It was really quite remarkable to me. And the other thing, too, is, yeah, not only does this business offer a lot of great employment for veterans and local people, also, my understanding is that when you get a job there at Bridger Aerospace, you are issued equity, you stock in the company. So as these Democratic attacks have continued, it has helped to drive down Bridger Aerospace's stock price. That is hitting employees and their 401ks. I know that there are locals that have invested in the company because they were proud to see a locally owned and grown company. They're getting hit by these attacks as well, too. And then just to your final point, you're here, you're Montanan, I grew up in Oregon. Firefighters are a really big, deadly, terrible thing. And we should be celebrating advances that are not only saving property, but saving lives.
That's right. John Jackson, we got about 20 seconds before the break. What question would you want to throw or comment to Kim Strassel?
On the media, I want to know from your position, who do you think is the worst outfit and the worst reporter nationally?
Oh, I am so not going there. Look at how I'm dressed.
He threw out the, I want names.
I want
Holyfield right there.
All right, we'll stand by. Back right after this with Montana Talks.
Being U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is great. Kimberly Strassel with the Wall Street Journal. She's got time. I think she's got a chat with Ted Cruz here a little later this morning. But, hey, she's got the time. Yeah, let's keep her around if she's willing to join us. John Jackson, you know, you and I have talked a lot about the bias in the media, which is what Kim Strassel just talked about. She's got her Potomac Watch column a long time in the Wall Street Journal. But we were talking during the break about how biased even the TV stations are now. The TV stations used to be okay. They used to be good. They used to be reputable. KTVQ television, for example, Q2, they always did a fair job. I could tell if they leaned a certain way based off of narrative or packaging, but now it is just straight up obvious. They are doing everything they can to help John Tester and everything they can to try to harm Tim Sheehy, but it's not working. Right.
Well, I've watched Barack Hussein Obama completely co-opt the media with people just going in and out from his administration to the media, in and out, in and out, in and out. But then you saw in 2016, I think, I don't want to see if Ms. Strassel agrees, all of them decided as one hive mind with the election of Donald Trump that there were no more rules, because in their minds, he was so bad, orange man, bad and evil. There were no more rules. The only law was take him out by any means necessary.
Yeah. And they justified this, by the way, by saying we can throw over all of our objective, neutral reporting, because we have an obligation to save the country. You know, we're doing this for your own good. We have to take a side in this fight because we're good Americans, and only good Americans would vote for Democrats, and bad Americans, like if you are thinking of voting for Donald Trump, you must be a bad American. You do not understand what's going to happen to the country. And that was their argument. I mean, the catchphrase I always note is this is the whole Washington Post, democracy dies in darkness. Remember when we did this?
You know, I just pulled up an article earlier today, and they have it written at the top of every article.
Every article.
Oh, give me a break.
You know, and that was them broadcasting this new mentality that they had, that democracy dies in darkness. The other thing that has become a follow-on to that, which is really ramped up over the last 8 years, and it really grinds my gears, is the proliferation of fact checkers in the media, and this new cabal of people who tell us what the absolute truth is and what the unabsolute truth is. And we're just supposed to, except for when you read these pieces, most of it's just their opinion. And they're trying to use those fact checks to either bash on someone or support someone else or shut down. This is more common, and that's the part I don't like. Shut down a rival media or a rival outfit who has an opinion or a view that they don't like.
That's right. They've done that in the Senate race here in Montana as well. Like PolitiFact, which has already been documented to be biased to the left, especially Biden v. Trump previous. But they came out and they said, well, you know, Tim Sheehy is criticizing John Tester over inflation, but inflation actually went down.
Right.
It's like, no, inflation has not gone down. It's up 22% in Montana in just the last 3.5 years
the
alone.
The rate of inflation has declined.
Yeah, they'll say, well, the growth rate has declined, but prices have still gone up.
Correct.
And they continue to go up across the board. You can't lie to people when they see their grocery bill.
Well, and the other trick about this, and Aaron, you know this, and John, you know this, is if you're in the news world, you can get away with a great deal by just closing your ears and your eyes to facts that you don't like that would dispute the fact that you're trying to make. And that's another common thing that they do is, well, here's the position I'm arguing, and I'm just going to pretend there isn't anything to undermine my point.
The money in politics, John, you and I were talking earlier, just the money. And oftentimes the liberal media doesn't want to tell you who is funding their favorite initiatives, right? Now, I would give credit to the Lee newspaper's Capital reporter. They did a great report highlighting the $11+ million coming into Montana from out of state left wing donors in particular to back all of these constitutional initiatives. We've got three constitutional initiatives on our ballot right now. But, John, you and I both saw the same report. The DailyWire.com has a story about how basically left-wing dark money groups are pouring foreign money into state ballot campaigns, foreign-backed spending in state ballot issue campaigns. It's a report from the Americans for Public Trust, and it includes a familiar name, Hans-Jörg Wies, who is funding this abortion initiative and so much more.
We do this Spaces podcast on Twitter, which I'm sure Ms. Strassel is aware of. And, of course, you know, after being in here now, you have to follow me. I'm at PBT Joker.
Absolutely.
US. You have to follow me now.
When I walk out of the
absolutely
studio.
Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. But we were talking about that the other day. You on Spaces, you end up talking to people from all over the country. And you don't realize if you're here in Montana, all these ballot initiatives, these people from all over the country are talking about their ballots are full of all these initiatives. And you know what it is, guys? This is the mob rule the left wants. This is an end run around your legislature, your governor, all the process. They just put it right in front of the people, influence the people, and get them to vote for it.
Yeah, you are making a great point. And this is something everybody needs to be aware of because it's a new ground zero out there. I saw this firsthand. I'm up in Alaska. And 4 years ago, we were the guinea pig for ranked choice voting. And by the way, I'm pretty sure it's on the ballot here in Montana.
That's two of the
right?
three.
Exactly. Yep. And, you know, that was funded by a lot of out-of-state big money types. They came in, and we do have laws up there. We could, if you take the time, you can go and track down and see, you know, who's putting the money in and everything. But they all have these, you know, nice sounding names that make it sound like they're actually from Alaska, so that you're lulled into believing this is something that your neighbors and friends believe in. They wrapped it all up in this enormous amendment that all started with this nice sounding talk at the top about how we're going to get rid of dark money in elections and clean up our elections. I think it was actually called like the Clean Elections Initiative. And then at the end, it was like, oh, by the way, we're totally going to redo the way you vote and make it so that you need a PhD to actually understand what happens and have these multiple rounds of voting, which will just keep going until a Democrat wins.
Yeah. And that's what they're trying to do in Montana.
Which is what happened in
with CI-126 and CI-127. Yeah, and that's where all this money is coming from. And it makes the point that foreigners can spend money on our ballot initiatives. They're not supposed to spend money in the Senate race or other things,
correct,
but they can spend money on ballot initiatives. And that's what Hans-Jörg Wies is doing. The same guy who backs the APR to kick ranchers off the land is the same guy backing the Democrats, the same guy backing these ballot initiatives. By the way, you mentioned you're from Alaska. You've got a flannel shirt on. You could run for office in Montana just by wearing a flannel shirt alone. It's just a flannel shirt. That's all people need to hear is you got a flannel shirt.
Well, the good news is I don't look like an outsider here.
Hey, let's sneak in a caller, and then we'll see if John Jackson's got another question or comment for you as well. Todd in Billings on the phone lines. Todd, did you have a quick question or comment as we've got Kim Strassel and John Jackson, the Joker, in the house?
Yeah, I got an idea for getting out the black vote. Something that I don't hear very often from any of the talking heads is that I'd like to see some comparison charts and things about the black communities in the urban areas and all the resources that are being funneled to illegals for hotels, meals, cards, credit cards, you name it. Maybe one way to target the black community, and I think one of the reasons they're coming towards the Republicans, is they see those resources that would normally go into their communities being funneled over to illegals. And it'd be good to point out to the black community that the Democratic Party that rules these urban areas are funneling resources that could have went to schools and housing developments. And
that's such a great point.
Development.
So get some specific numbers behind it. Yeah, get some specific numbers behind it. Yeah, I like where you're going with that, Todd, because I think the black community already sees it. That's why we're seeing the black vote push more and more towards Donald J. Trump. But, yeah, Kim Strassel, from Chicago to New York City, black voters are stepping up. I mean, there's been public forums. They're calling into Charlemagne's show and holding him even accountable over this.
Yeah, I think a couple of things have happened here. And one day we're all going to look back and evaluate Trump's impact on the Republican Party. But one thing I think that has happened under his time at the head of the party has been a very deliberate decision to try to reach out to voters that were not traditionally Republican voters and say, hey, come test the water. I think you would like this. I think another thing that's happened is that you've had some prominent voices, black voices and Hispanic voices that have suddenly broke free from the Democratic Party and decided that they're either going to be neutral or give Republicans a shot or come out and said, and people see that and then they feel more confident in saying, maybe I need to look at the other side. Maybe I'm not a one party voter as it happens after all. But the most remarkable thing, your caller was talking about frustration potentially in minority communities over where resources are going, in particular, given the border problem. But when you look out there right now, what the real demographic shift that you are seeing is being driven in a split between no longer, this is not about being black or white or Hispanic. This is about how much like money earning. Are you working class or are you more part of the elite? And the two parties have switched sides on that dramatically in the last 10 years. And when you look at the numbers, the growing numbers of black and Hispanics who are saying they may vote Republican, and then you look at their income, they are blue collar workers.
And more family oriented.
Yes.
And entrepreneurial.
Entrepreneurial
as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
John Jackson, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. Same could apply for Indian country. I mean, that Western Native Voice outfit that's funded by George Soros is claiming, oh, the border's not that big of an issue in Indian country. What? Are you kidding me? The drug cartels are targeting native women, and you're going to claim? And who's responsible for that? The Democrats. John Tester. They're responsible for this.
From working in narcotics like I did for 30 years and being some of that time in Montana, every time you talk to those people on the reservations, that's what they're complaining about, is the drugs and the crime and the illegals.
And now the drug cartels, brought to you by who? Kamala Harris and John Tester's open borders. But no, no, no. The guy who is paid by George Soros says, it's not a big deal on the reservations. Are you kidding me? That's why people feel like they're being lied to by all this big money that's flooding in.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA's beef production outlook was noticeably higher from September. The latest round of reports showed third and fourth quarter 2024 production forecast to be higher than last month, raising the annual forecast to 27 billion pounds, just above 2023 production. While U.S. dairy milk production is now expected to decline this year due to lower yields from aging cows, adverse weather, and limited replacements, imports are expected to increase while exports remain mostly stable as well.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You'll get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
USDA is also projecting broiler production to adjust down slightly in 2024 on recent slaughter data, but revised upward in 2025 for the poultry sector. Broiler prices are expected higher based on recent data price and strong demand expectations, while projected turkey exports this year were adjusted down slightly. I'm Lane Nordlund.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's about damn time. Lizzo in Detroit. Oh, come on, John. Tell me you saw this.
I did.
She said, they're telling us that if we elect Kamala, that all of America is going to turn into Detroit. And she was saying, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do. I mean, something to that effect. I had the soundbite queued up yesterday. But Raymond Arroyo was on with Laura Ingraham last night. Detroit has got the second worst crime in the country right now. But no, Lizzo says it's about damn time we make this country Detroit.
We all know that Detroit has been a national joke for, 30, 40 years now? They are the example of an American Adam Schiff hole. And she's coming out and trying to say, yes, if Kamala gets in, we're going to make the whole country Detroit. Obviously, nobody gave her the talking points on that.
Well, in Kim Strassel, when she brought Usher up there. Now, Usher's a great musician. He did great at the halftime show, I think, the last time I saw him. But wasn't he kind of, you know, like the rest of the Democrat Party, kind of caught up with partying with P. Diddy? Is that really the look they want to have right now?
You know, to me, more interesting, the interesting switch of this election has been Democrats have always had Hollywood, you know, the Grammy, all the big names and stars, and they come out and sing the songs and do the appearances at these events. And what's fascinating is watching Republicans realize this time around, and by the way, I think I give Donald Trump and his campaign credit for this, that a lot of these big voices that we always look to, whether it's the media or the movie stars, they're not the folks that most Americans are listening to, including a lot of those undecided voters who you want to come have. They're listening to some of these podcasters. They're listening to folks that, you know, World Wrestling Federation folks, you know, young men in particular have a lot of media that they listen to or entertainment that they listen to that is not what gets covered in the New York Times on a daily basis. And that those new outlets that are coming out there, that's fundamentally changing the landscape for campaigning and the voices that are mattering in elections.
All right, let's sneak in another caller here, 406-294-0970. Peggy in Highwood, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Folks were talking about Tim Sheehy and the lies that were being, or misinformation being spread. The PAC or the organization that they're saying, oh, this is a land grabbing organization, PERC. It is a conservation organization, and it's been around since 1980. Chairman of the board is a small, town farmer from a family who's been in the area for many generations. So
yeah, I've known PERC for a long time. They're like a free market environmentalist group. I don't agree with everything they say, but they bring a lot of really interesting information and insight to the table, though.
Well, and the fact that they're using this against Sheehy as land grabbing and selling off stuff is just tells you how much bull is involved in those advertisements.
Well, that's right. And especially when you've got John Tester, who put Tracy Stone Manning in charge of the Bureau of Land Management, the eco-terrorist who was giving special perks to the Hans Wiese-funded American Prairie Reserve. Like, oh, really? You guys want to talk about Montana land when you are selling this land out to the American Prairie Reserve and you put Tracy Stone Manning in charge of the BLM? Really? You want to talk public lands? So let's have that conversation, right?
Exactly. And the damage that she did to some trees and that in the Troy area in the 80s.
Oh, yeah, because she was connected with that tree spiking operation.
Yeah.
I don't know if she actually, I don't think she actually spiked them, but boy, did they threaten spiking the trees. And yeah, then she lied to federal investigators. Have you, Kimberly Strassel, have you followed Tracy Stone Manning at all at the BLM?
We at the editorial page wrote a lot about this, trying to expose her record before that vote. And it was, I think, very disappointing when Democrats voted her in anyway, just because she did not have a record in any way, not just the problems with her actions that she had taken as a younger person, but just I don't think the right qualifications for such a huge job. And one other thing, PERC, I know PERC, they are a great outfit. They're about free market environmentalism, right? I will take that any day of the year over a Tracy Stone Manning who just wants to turn another 100,000 acres into a national monument that nobody can step onto or use in any way. So yeah, they've got some really innovative, great ideas.
Yeah, no, I've followed PERC. I read the book Free Market Environmentalism in the late 90s. And again, I don't agree with everything PERC does. And when they've pushed an idea that I didn't like, I've told them why I disagree with them. But again, they're a think tank. That's their job, is to talk about ideas that aren't necessarily always popular even.
Exactly.
All right, John Jackson, I just heard the word national monuments, and I'm like, oh, man. After the election, you and I are going to be sitting right here
I am very concerned about what Joe Biden and Kamala might do during the lame duck with that abuse of presidential power, even if they lose the White House two Tuesdays from now.
I was wondering if it's the same in Alaska as it is here in Montana. In a lot of these other states, the Democrats and the media, their fallback, their default is racism, sexism. They're going to throw grandma off the cliff, right? That's their default attacks against Republicans. Here, it is stream access and land access. Is it like that in Alaska?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, we have been ground zero just in the last few years. You look at the actions that Joe Biden has taken against energy production. Most of it has centered in Alaska. You know, our senator up there, Dan Sullivan, likes to claim that when it comes to energy issues, that Joe Biden's administration has been meaner to Alaska than it has been to Iran, which I think is a probably legitimate point. But yeah, these are the discussions we have up there. And we are as much at risk as Montana of having a presidential action that comes out and says, sorry, that whole chunk of your state is no longer, you know, you can no longer touch it, use it, access it. And it's even harder up there. We only have a handful of highways. A lot of the state is completely untouchable as it is. So when you get these further restrictions on the few places that are actually usable, it's really tough on the state.
Yeah, I filled in as a guest host for the American Potential podcast and national podcast, but we talked all about energy, and we talked about 1002 in Alaska, but we also talked about a railroad line in Utah to Louisiana. The Biden administration even blocked a railroad line from getting up and running because it was going to transport oil from Utah to Louisiana. So not only did they shut down the Keystone XL pipeline on day one, they're blocking railroad jobs as well. I mean, it's insane. And yet look at some of these railroad union members, some of them, less of them than they used to, will still probably vote for the Democrats that shut down their very jobs. It's just crazy. Let's go to Steve in Ballantyne. Steve, what's on your mind?
Morning, guys. I guess it happened this weekend. I've already seen the clip, and it's pretty disgusting. But Kamala, at one of her big rallies that she had, she got on to the women's right to abortion and all that, and the crowd was just roaring and hollering. And then an older gentleman, I guess, stood up. You can hear him. Stood up and said something like, Jesus Christ, he's our Lord, or something like that. And Kamala, in her ultimate wisdom, stood right there. It looked like she's in the middle of the auditorium. Sit there, and she goes, she looked up, and she goes, I think you're at the wrong rally. And she said it laughing and joking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, well, you're right, Steve. The only slight correction is it wasn't an older guy. It was a couple younger guys. Here you go.
The wrong rally.
Yeah, so that was, and then she goes on and she says, oh, you're at the wrong rally. You should go to the smaller rally down the street. Kim Strassel, your thoughts?
Well, when I heard that, it kind of reminded me of the whole clinging to your guns and God and religion comment from Obama or Hillary Clinton and the basket of deplorables. And that's the kind of attitude I do believe turns a lot of Americans off, right? Can we disagree on policy issues? Can we have some respect for each other's cultures, our religions, and the differences that we have? In fact, maybe even celebrate a little bit that in America. And when they see politicians saying, if you simply grew up here and you believe in this, you are a bad person and you don't belong here, that's the sort of stuff that people reject.
John Jackson, your thoughts. We've got about 30 seconds before the next break, and then we'll get to more callers after that.
As if that wasn't bad enough, I guess the next day she had these pro-Palestinian people stand up and heckle her, and she completely agrees with them and says their voices need to be heard. So Christians get out, terrorists stay in.
And then they constantly throw our friends in Israel under the bus. And then somebody in the Biden administration is leaking classified information to Iran. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanker.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So, John, real quick, because I know you and I meant to talk about this earlier, but we've had this great guest joining us here with Kimberly Strasso from the Wall Street Journal, who's in Montana right now. But basically, a whole bunch of secret information was shared with the Iranians, classified information, throwing Israel under the bus. And which is no surprise because we've had elements within the Biden-Harris administration that have already been exposed for leaking information to the Iranians. But who's the source that's claiming Tatabai is responsible for this one?
That's reported on Sky News that she was the one that did it. And she was already, under some kind of suspension for being a suspected spy, but had still kept her security clearance. And sure enough, here they've got her as the suspect in this leak. And I've been told by professionals in the area, this is 10 years in prison right off the bat if you are guilty of this. But of course, we know the entire Biden-Harris regime are a bunch of Iranian sympathizers as it is. So it doesn't surprise anybody that this happened and that this gal is still somehow in possession of her security clearance.
Yeah, there was a story. This was 4 days ago before this news even come out. DailyWire.com, Pentagon allows alleged member of Iranian influence operation to keep security clearance. Her name came up when I had a conversation with Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, because he named her as one of the elements in our own government that is pandering to this terrorist regime in Tehran. Kim Strassel, any thoughts on that story before we get to another caller here?
Well, one thing, it's tangential, but I've been thinking about what's the world going to look like again if Donald Trump does get elected? And you're talking about leaks here. Don't forget, notice that in the last 4 years, we haven't really had that big of a problem with leaks, because apparently the federal government knows how to mind its P's and Q's when there's a Democrat in office. But I mean, I am worried about this. When Donald Trump was president last time, everyone felt that in their rush to undermine his presidency, the leaks that came out of the administration were so bad out of the federal government,
right,
and so undermining to this nation's security. So I do worry about that. And I hope that there are some examples made of people who are leakers, because we need to set a standard here and send a message that this is just never tolerated.
And isn't it interesting how the leaks that have happened under this current administration are usually to undermine Israel, never to undermine Biden,
correct,
and Harris,
right,
whereas the leaks that took place under Trump were to undermine Trump, were to undermine America. Yeah, time and time again, that's a fascinating point there. Let's go to Mark in Kalispell. Mark, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. I was just going to say, you know, John Tester, to me, he's always been Nancy Pelosi's lapdog. He's always been, you know, Chuck Schumer's lapdog. He's always done what he's told. When he gets to Washington, just doesn't represent Montana. And I've really tried over the years to like him. And when I see him coming back advertising, strong on the border, he's got a gun in his gun rack. Such a liar and a fraud. That's one attribute that I just really dislike in a person. And when I was listening to Tim Sheehy the other day, you know, why are you running, Tim? It's because he's concerned about the next generation, about our grandkids, about our future of our country. I just think that's so important and resonates so well to the state. But I really have just had it with Tester, just blatantly, fraudulently lying to Montana. So
yeah, just a phony.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, you know, why don't you just tell people what you actually believe? Yeah, I think people would actually respect him more for it. Kimberly Strassel, the Hill.com, I think, has a story today. basically talking about the tens of millions of dollars that Chuck Schumer is still wasting in Montana. And they're basically saying, well, it looks like, you know, Brett Baer reported last night that John Tester is the likeliest Democrat to lose his seat. But more swing states are now pushing in the Republicans' favor, to where those Senate Democrats are now trying to promote Trump in their own campaign commercials. But I think the point being is that the Democrats have to keep spending all this money for John Tester because they owe him. He has been a loyal foot soldier for Chuck Schumer throughout his entire, you know, career in Washington.
Well, that's why he's struggling now, right? I mean, I actually look at Tester and I see a change in some of his voting behavior. And I think it's why he's got a problem at the moment, is that when he first went to Washington, you could argue he broke with his party more frequently and better represented Montana. Whether or not he represented you entirely the way you wanted him to, he was not lockstep with his country, his party. That has changed. And now his voting record is just 100% progressive, demands he does it. So I think he's got that problem. Chuck Schumer, look, I have a little bit of empathy. If you're running senatorial campaigns, your best shot are your incumbents. You got a better shot at holding the seat than you do gaining an open one. So he's going to keep throwing money. And also, if you're Chuck Schumer, Montana might be a big state, but it's a little media market. So you can throw those millions at it and, you know, you consider it a better bang for your buck. At this point, though, I mean, unless a meteor hits West Virginia, Republicans are going to win West Virginia. That makes the Senate 50-50. And, you know, the polling average, Real Clear Politics, he's up 7 points. So I think at a certain point, they might want to ask themselves if they don't want to reroute that money to a Wisconsin or a Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Kimberly Strassel, an honor to have you in studio.
Thanks
for your time. And look forward to hearing you speak at that dinner tonight. John Jackson, you're always good with a one-liner or two for the close. So you got anything?
I know Ms. Strassel can speak right to the people that talk to Donald Trump. Tell him he gets in office, act like a mob boss. You talk to three people in that day, you don't talk to anybody else. That's how you stop these leaks.
All right. We got to hold it there. Thanks for your time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.